Our time is about 8 minutes past the hour of 8. And thanks for joining us this morning. It's always a pleasure for us to be in your company. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the trends and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your platform. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So welcome. And our time is 9 minutes past the hour of 8. And we're coming to you live from Ondangwa studio. So we will be with you. I will be with you until 10 o'clock when I will be handing over to Wintuk, to Tate France with Kusta Mosha. So, all right. So as we usually do, we start with what happened on this day in Africa. We're looking at some of the significant events that happened in the course of history on the continent, especially on this day, on the 4th of November. So, and on this day in 1975, on November the 4th, 1975, the Moroccan government launched the Green March. A mass demonstration of 350,000 Moroccans now entering the disputed Spanish Sahara territory, that now Western Sahara, to pressure Spain into a withdrawal. Now, this action occurred shortly after the International Court of Justice called for a self-determination referendum for the Sahrawi people. But it ultimately, led to Morocco gaining control over most of the territory, and not actually self-determination for the Sahrawi people. So up to now, is actually under the control of Morocco. So, and on the very same day, 1945, on the 4th of November, 1945, riots perpetrated by Arabs against the Jewish community in Libya killed at least about 121 Jews. Now, British troops intervened to stop the violence and arrested over 500 rioters. So, and in 1977 in South Africa, the United Nations Security Council voted to impose a mandatory arms embargo against apartheid South Africa on November 4th in 1977. So this was a major international action taken in opposition to the apartheid system. And some discoveries, some interesting discoveries in Africa, well, not by Africans, but that happened in Africa. British archaeologist Howard Carter discovered the tomb of the Egyptian pharaoh Tutankhamun in the Valley of the Kings. That was on November 4th, 1922. The tomb was found mostly intact and contained a wealth of artifacts. When they say discover, do the local people didn't know where the pharaohs were buried? So it's kind of like it was completely no one knows, and then boom, here it is, Yeah, so yes, And in a landmark moment for primatology, Jane Goodall observed a chimpanzee using a grass stalk to fish for termites at Gombe Stream National Park in Tanzania on November the 4th, 1960. Now, this discovery challenged the belief that only human could create and use tools. So the chimpanzees could also, so that's actually challenged the belief that only human could create and use tools. So chimpanzees could do that as well. So that contributed to primatology, to study of the, you know, how we, you know, primatology. What is primatology? Yeah, so, all right. So, well, that's what we have so far in this day in Africa, what happened on this day in Africa. And today is Tuesday, November the 4th, your bank balances, all right? So that's our thought for the day today. So good morning and welcome. If you're just joining us, you're most welcome. Welcome on board. So what can we expect today? What can we look for today in our on our show today? So Nigeria pushes back. If you're following the news, Nigeria is pushing back against Trump's threat. Trump exactly threatening to send troops to Nigeria. So if you want to know what's happening, you know, what is Trump trying to do, make sure that you stay tuned. And a beef export, the beef export. All right. So what you can expect also is that the beef export dropped 50% as cattle shortage hit the supplies. So, and that's what we're looking at as well. So we're going to look at also the deep drop, a huge drop of 50% of cattle shortage in the country. And also, if we have time, we're looking at another stories that we have for you. So, well, stay tuned. So we will be back in a second.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the
eye. Yes, if you want to advertise, so there are more Muslim in the north, in the northern part of Nigeria, there are more Muslim and south leans Christians. Now, but the two communities are deeply interwoven. You know? It's not like someone drew a line across the map and say, hey, here is Christian land and here is a Muslim land. It's not like that. So there's a freedom of wherever, you know, you go, you do business anyway, you know, that they
there's
no something like there's a division, you know, between Christian and Christian, you know. So yeah, and it makes for the news, for the media, it makes for a strong headlines, you know, especially for audience who already see who actually already see the world in those terms, you know. So when that, you know, when that comes in the media, there are already those who see the world in the, in those terms. So it make headlines, to make a strong headline. So now the question probably is why do this? Why actually do this? Is it not just about, so when you think about that, it's not just about sympathy. When now you hear the Americans say, oh, okay, now we will send troops there to protect the Christians. This is not just about sympathy. Sometimes it's about, you know, sometimes it's about, I think it's about political branding, you know? If you understand branding, so I would say sometimes it's actually political branding. In US, in the US, talking about protecting, you know, Christian abroad, it does resonate deeply with certain voter bases, you know? Because especially the conservative Christians. So that actually resonates very, very well with that. And in that way, it's a self-defense. Okay? So you have been attacked, you know, that's a self-defense. So that's why the Israel, you know, went into Gaza, because they feel we have been attacked. This is a self-defense. I have a right for self-defense. So now, and then the other thing is that the UN Security Council approves it. If the UN Security Council approves it, so then that and who are actually in the UN Security Council, you know? So if they see that it's there, it's in their own interest, definitely, you know, they would approve that, and then that kind of allowed by the UN for you now to be able to go in. And unless also maybe if the country invites you, okay, the mother country where you want to bomb, so invites you. So yeah, Nigeria hasn't invited the US, and they haven't invited the US in, and this would be legal without Nigerian consent. So legally, that is not, it's shaky. All right. Now, and even in American law, the president cannot just declare war alone. You cannot just declare war alone. You know, like on Twitter, you just write on X and said, hey, if you're not stopping, we're going to bomb you. Okay. We hell, you know, what is the statement, you know, hell will, you know, broke loose or something like that. So even in the state, even in the American law, the president can't declare a war alone. So the war powers resolution says nickel, copper, you know, stuff that essential for, these are the stuff that are actually essential for electric cars that many of these big powers want to develop now, renewable energy and also military technology. So you need some of these for military technology. So Nigeria is actually sitting on the mountain of that, of those critical minerals. Now, China actually dominate the market for this mineral globally. Okay? So the US wants alternatives. And surprise, 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 many of these minerals in Nigeria are located in the region that also face it. Isn't this genuine you know, humanitarian, that we want to protect the Christians. Or could be that, you know, U.S., they want to keep their feet in Nigeria's resources. Well, analysts suggest Trump's comment might serve multiple audiences. Okay? His domestic voters. So his domestic voters. Why are they skipping doing this? All right? So now, the analysts suggest that Trump's is, I think his comments might serve multiple purposes or multiple audience. Now, his domestic voters and strategic planners, you know, strategic planner who would be quite happy to see America more involved in Nigerian territory. So this is not for us now here in Namibia. We know the strategic pool of resources. We do know that. Our own lithium and uranium sectors have attracted global interest. Well, sometimes genuine partnership, but sometimes aggressive competition as well. So the lesson, I think when the world power, when the world powers look at you, like now, like US looking at Nigeria. So when they look at you, they often see what is underneath your soil. They're not just looking at people like now talking about persecuted Christians. No. They're looking at what is underneath your soil. So, and I think that's much of those wherever you have conflict, you know. Of course, comes in terms of helping helping those actually, you know, that are being persecuted, or maybe who are actually victims of conflict or whatever the case may be. But, you know, in area, if there were absolutely nothing in those area, imagine even in DRC, if there were no, you know, lithium, you know, cobalt and all those kind of things. Do you think the world care? Those world powers would care? Definitely wouldn't care. They wouldn't care. And there wouldn't be even war there. So the reasons why the war is because of those minerals, those critical minerals. And, you know, as I said, when the world power look at you, they actually looking, often they see what is underneath, okay? And underneath your soil and not just your people, actually. So, yeah. So now the religious freedom debate, okay, in Nigeria. The Nigeria constitution, I think, guarantees freedom of religion. But there is this, in 12 northern states, Sharia law operate in civil matters. Okay. It operate in civil matters and sometimes in criminal cases. So that has been a controversial. Is it compatible with a secular constitution? The issues and the challenge in terms of, is it compatible with secular constitution? Now, within Nigeria, this is a political and legal debate. So, but it is not the same as a state. It's not like as if the state is persecution, it's a state persecution of Christians. All right? In some states, you know, you have Sharia law, And that could be applied in some of those, you know, in some of those states. But this is not the Nigerian constitution. That's not what Nigerian constitution is support, you know? Yeah. So it's not a persecution. It's not a state persecution of Christians. Okay. A federal state persecution of Christians. Well, similarly, we have constitution protecting for religious freedom here. So Article 21, for example. So, but applies one uniform legal system across our regions, you know, across the whole country. So our context is a little bit different. Now, in Nigeria case, the challenge is making sure regional laws don't infringe on a national rights, all right? But again, this is an internal constitutional matter. So it's not an invitation actually for a foreign troop. So it's an internal constitutional matter. So they need to sort that out themselves. It's not an invitation that, okay, we're going to come and bomb you because of that. Okay? So now, the other things that we also need to look at is the media framing. All right? The issue of media narratives. Western coverage of African conflict often zooms in on one group, sometimes simplifying a reality, you know, to fit an existing narrative. So in Nigeria, for example, in Nigeria, advocacy groups and certain media outlets have amplified atrocity against Christians, which are real. So this is also something that is actually happening. But less often reported not much reported the attack on Muslims in the same regions. You see? So that selective framing can build public pressure. It can really build public pressure abroad for intervention. So now that's why you have now Trump say, well, so we need to intervene. So this kind of selective framing, I think it's selectively, purposefully selected to create that pressure, that public pressure, abroad for intervention. And it happened all over where you can listen to, let's say for example, so if you listen to, Al Jazeera, for example, of the situation that is in Palestine, it's completely different when you listen to Fox, you know? Or CNN or something like that. So the framing, that selective framing. What do you want to? You want to build, you know, a public pressure, you know, maybe even abroad, especially for abroad for intervention, for example. So, and we as Namibian, we are not immune to that. We also not immune to this. We have seen how, you remember, even how our poaching, you know, when foreign media is actually reporting our poaching, the poaching that has happened in Namibia, maybe land reform. No. Let me also look at the typical one what is the word used? Curling. It's curling. Curling during the drought, curling elephants and other, you know, wild animal. That we have to kill, this is the word, for drought. So how that was reported abroad was absolutely, you know, accept is as I said, this selective framing, you know, and many other issues when it comes to unemployment, for example. Yeah, so can be represented abroad in a way that miss key facts. And sometimes it's not only missing key facts, but also missing the local complexity. So sometimes it's there's so much, you know, there's so much complexity on whatever that issue is than what actually being reported. Which is why as citizen, you know, as Namibian in our case, We should always ask, who benefit from telling the story in this way? So when you just follow a story, who benefit from, and what is the agenda? All right? So it's very important, you know, you don't just take it, you know, you don't, whenever what you read. So who benefit? Who's benefiting from telling the story in the way it is, and what is the agenda? So now, so maybe what is the implications when we see this? What is the implication for Africa and for Namibia? So in terms of things like that. Now the foreign involvement in African security is really just about humanitarian protection. What we have seen that when the foreign comes involved in African security, they have some kind of interest in something. It's not just about humanitarian protection. So once troops or military assets are in place, you know, they are hard to remove. Once they come in your country, they are hard to remove. And often the mission shifts from helping it can shift from helping to influencing. Influencing politically, influencing economically, influencing, you know, strategically. So it started to shift. So when they come to help, but then they're not moving. They will be there, and they are there now to influence. So that's something. As African state, I think we need to strengthen our own security, framework, keep regional cooperation alive, you know, through bodies like the SADC security organs, and ensure that international partnership are balanced. And on our terms, it should be also on our terms. Okay, not, you know, imposed on us. So, and Nigerian stance, as we see, firm but short, but measured, really, that it's good an example. It's really a good example. Invite dialogue and reject overreach. So that, well, thank you, but we will handle this ourselves. So yeah, basically that's the situation. And so what do you think? What's your take on that? On Trump, you know, threatening to send troops to Nigeria. So is that just a political rhetoric, or could be that realistic? Could that be could be something that could happen realistically? So what is your take? 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast.
Those reporters are coming in. And if you look at the as we're saying, the numbers, that is reflecting on wherever you are doing researching on.
Yeah.
It can be provoking the world when it comes to those religion group.
Yeah.
And this is what is happening even the time of George Bush when he went into China to appeal in China the government of China to allowing people to worship what they are believing on.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's not something simple to say. And on the look of what you are saying, that they might end up interesting on something. Yeah, the democracy of Nigeria is a good transaction. It has nothing to do with the influencing of who to be ruled in Nigeria.
Yeah,
all of them they've been doing the good transition. Yeah, no matter the previous president was it also a military president at the time of 1980, I think somewhere there.
Yeah,
even Obasanjo was also the same thing, but they do good when it comes to democracy.
Yeah,
it have nothing. And even also the resources in the hand of the Nigerians is still good on. I don't think they have much to say this is the person we want. Mm. Yeah, no, the political party are doing good into, to prove to the citizens that they can be capable of ruling the country.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and yes, we can say that unless you, it is not like Libya, Afghanistan or Vietnam or Iraq. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is no reflecting of dictatorship or somebody who wanted to rule forever.
Yeah.
No, it has nothing to do with that. And remember, Americans, they are independent business people, yes, that's including the government. Yeah, they have handing on every resources in the world, that's including in China. So they have partners in Russia, they have everywhere to getting what they want. Yeah, but they are always hiding behind the dictator, especially if that president doesn't want him to allow others to rule the country. That is all. But this is not a bluffer. It's a serious case. That's why the Department of War in Pentagon have been also reacting to say, no, we are ready to sending some. And remember, the Islam group.
Wouldn't be that also a tactic, which actually Trump have used before to push for negotiate to come on the table?
That is, as I said, that is also good. But remember, the Americans, they are the first, they are the biggest group in the world that have soldiers committed to what the commander-in-chief coming up with.
Yeah.
So when they say something, they will be followed. It's not like Russian or Chinese who I can say, and then the military guy asking what is our benefit on that.
Yeah.
No, these Americans, they are totally different people. Yeah. That's why I'm saying the Department of War have already taken up the letter, think about it, how many we need to send and all of that.
Yeah.
And as I said, the Islam, it's a big group in the world. It's a troublemaker in the world.
Yeah.
The basic thing to do is just to eliminate those type of viruses that is happening in the world. Mm-hmm. No matter we have those one that is now ruling Syria.
Yeah.
Yeah. They separating from the other groups, Islamic groups because of things that they might end up be targeted tomorrow or it may end up be a hide country for the terrorists. So it's an enemy of the world. It's an enemy of everybody, and it have been Americans have been eyes on it for a long time. It's the same as we have this group in northern Kivu, in northern west of Uganda, which is Thomas Nkoni and the others. Yeah, they have been even also in, if you look at the West Africa, those in Mali, Chad and others, there are also Islam in there. So this is the one that was happening also in Mozambique. So the viruses of that, we need to see whether we can dismoral them or breaking the backbone of them there. It's only that in America, you cannot really condemning one regime of saying the Islam is in the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. They have something else to view on that. That's why they say you cannot worship in public. You have to have your mosque. You have to have your church where your people can come. You cannot come on the street. But this war that is happening in Nigeria or this killing that is happening in Nigeria, it's also targeting when there are people in the middle of worship, what they are worship on. So those are the type of problems that we have. But the number is real. The killing is considered as a genocide. It's because it's a mass number of.
Looking at this, could become now, would say a practice. Should African nation ever accept foreign troops for internal, if there is an internal conflict, should we accept the foreign troops in
this is a civil conflict in Nigeria, if you look at it. Yeah, if you are addressing it into the EU, they might end up, some countries are saying, no, this is easy to solve, sitting with the people.
Yeah.
And Islam, they have no agenda to rule in this country. Them, they are like those groups of DRC. Mm. They want to control their territory.
Yeah.
They think of some region that we don't deserve this type of rules. So is for you to approving such as a thing in the EU
as a mission of Islam is actually to rule the whole world.
you see now.
Yeah.
So those are the things that I'm saying. The African nation or the African unite. It's a challenge. I don't think they have that standard like Americans who are now be a power of the world. Because them, they are a group of people. It's not only the one ethnic. It's a group of people that are coming together and they have power to raise the money and funding whatever it comes. So the African Union can see that, because if you look at that killing, it has been there for quite long when the Boko Haram was so strong, nearly capturing I forgot this president, because he's also a Muslim.
Yeah.
The previous president of Nigeria. Yeah. So they was also benefited a lot of, that's why they were saying, no, you sending the soldier to that area, and before your soldier arrived, while they are on his way, the attack is already happened, which means we have some people that are feeding the rebel or those groups inside our government or inside our military.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it looks like it's a national problem.
Yeah. Eh?
Because some tribe or some religion, they want it, some want, they want, they don't want. Yeah. So the one that they want, they supported it. So for African now to acting like Americans want, Mike, Africa, they are not much strong to come up with that. And that is what it happened, the virus that is happening on 1994 in Rwanda. Because it was involved in the accident of those two presidents, president of Rwanda and president of Burundi.
Yeah.
So they were thought, this problem, they can be solved. But they must, killing started in Turan for 3 months without even noticing that we need to intervene on that.
Mm.
Those are the problems, as I said. It started long back in 2016. It's already happening, killing people, but they are talking about Islam. We are not coming up with the story to tell. No. They said the group of this Islam, dressing Islam, they flagging Islam, coming to the church of Christianity and killing. The Christianity went to kill the Islam when they were the mosque. Those are the problems that we have.
Yeah.
So, let's hear from others, Mike.
All right. No, thanks for coming, sir.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
A very good morning to you. The caller said that we should take that seriously, So that could happen. Yeah, so a very good morning to you. We're talking about the Trump actually threat to send troop to Nigeria, is it more political rhetoric than a realistic military plan? Is this just a political rhetoric, or is this a realistic military plan? Nigeria rejection is based now on sovereignty, of course. This is a different country with different rules and laws. So And there are also facts about conflict, of course, as the caller also mentioned, there are about conflicts as well. And they are also then in this case saying, you know, the way you you're framing this, it's very dangerous, and it's also a caution against a sectarian framing, you know. So, yeah.
Good morning, and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good, Michael.
Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm great.
Yeah.
When was if you can refresh my mind, George Bush? I mean, not Barack Obama ruling. Was it 2015 or when was it?
Barack Obama 20. He comes after. It's after
George Bush.
After Trump.
Was it after Trump?
I think it was after Trump, and then
yeah, there was a summit.
Then
yeah, there was a summit in Germany whereby he declared that it's time for the West to pivot to Asia. Yeah. Now, that includes China, Russia, and you know Russia is also part of Asia.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really European, it's just there in the middle. They got defeated in Europe by Russia through Ukraine. And then when Trump, when Barack Obama declared that, they thought with the military capability that they put, they built up in Russia, they are going to win.
Barack Obama was actually president in
2000. Yeah, he was the president by then.
2000 and then to 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was Bill Clinton who broke the news or breached the law that was actually set up between the NATOs and the Russians, that Russia would not move any inch eastward toward Russia. And then comes Switzerland, the two countries, the Baltic countries, and then also the Poland. That was an external, that was a biggest threat to Russia's security interest.
Yeah.
Now, they got defeated.
And that was the reason, actually.
Yeah, they got defeated there.
In Ukraine. Yeah, because
and then they tried here and here to try. You know, they, in Ukraine, there were two forms of war. Military war and economical war. Those are two forms, right? They both got demolished. Now, with them losing the geopolitical gravities around the world, they pivot to Africa now.
Yeah.
So, the issue of Nigeria, I have watched a video of a Nigerian citizen who is actually, who was in America, urging the Americans to actually remove the government of Nigeria, and then he will be elected as a president. So that issue is exactly the same way with the American, what the American doing with Venezuela. You know, in Venezuela, when Trump became a president in the first terms, he had Juan Guaido. You know that if you follow that, if you have followed that. Juan Guaido was then chosen by the Americans to be the president of Venezuela. Now when he come back, they choose this lady called Maria Corina Machado. They are the one, she participated in the elections and she got lost. This lady, if you follow her, just take a pen and follow her, what she said about I think I have said it later, the other times when I called in. So the issue you should also remember that Venezuela is in their hemisphere. You get that?
Yeah.
And then the Americans have got the Monroe degree law, of which they said they are not going to allow any foreign either be it in terms of military or economicals. Mm. And you know that Venezuela is actually suffering because of the sanction that was imposed by them, by Trump, when he took power in his first term.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
And a lot of people died because Venezuela all that times only survived in terms of their oils.
Yeah. No, I want you now to pull that to Nigeria's situation. Yeah.
I'm coming. Venezuela applied for BRICS. And then they are also part of BRICS partners countries. BRICS is consist of about 10 countries now.
Yeah.
And then they have 10 partner countries. And Trump has declared that he is going to fight any countries that want to join BRICS. So that is where the whole issue is. You see?
Yeah. Hmm.
It is a little bit different because there they are using the law of the law of 1875, whereby they view the Latin America's countries their backyard. So they can not come up with an agreement or in terms of economics with the Chinese and all those. But when they sanction the Chinese, that is the Chinese is the one. I mean, when they sanction the Venezuela, the Chinese comes in and offer loans and give them and they started. And that is how this Venezuela survived. Now they are no longer happy with that.
Yeah.
You remember that plane carrier or something, those big ship that carries about 60 to 50 warplanes, the fighter jets and also they are on that specific sea there waiting to invite Venezuela. But what they were actually doing, as I was following, is that they were discussing and they were forcing President Victor Maduro to leave the thrones of the presidential, and then they elect Maria Karina Machado as their president, because this lady promised to them that she is going to privatize all the government entities, be it oils, waters, and everything, and she pledged that she is going to remove the Venezuela's consulate or ambassador, the higher commissioners from DLC from Washington,
yeah,
to Israel in Jerusalem. That is what she said.
Okay,
you
now,
see
now quickly, Nim.
My
question would also here when with this religious rhetoric that we're hearing now from
the what.
The religious rhetoric where Trump said because of the persecution of Christians, is there maybe
I understand what you are saying.
Yeah,
we should always understand that the Americans, when they want to attack you, they have to set up a certain narrative.
Yeah, no, that's
they
what
put
I'm,
it what through their media.
Can you hear me?
In order to justify their invasions or their interest there.
Yeah.
The reason why they want to go there.
Yeah. Can you? That's what I wanted to ask. Is there?
Yeah. That is just a narrative that they actually built up. You remember when they went in Iraq? They said Iraq possesses the weapons, or they were busy building the weapons of mass destructions.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And it was the same playbooks with Iran. You see?
Yeah.
Those are the things that we need to know. So, when for me, as I have been following them, the Americans, there is nothing like terrorists, the jihadists, the al-Qaeda's and all those things. All those ones, they only got name from the Americans. Those are the American CIA.
Just hold on, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, but your phone is cutting a little bit.
Is it cutting?
Yeah, but I can hear you now, yeah.
So you mean the terrorist activities that has taken place in Nigeria, for example, you mean that hasn't been, not in terms of how we understand from the American point of view, but from even our own point of view, you mean that hasn't been, that it hasn't been the case? Is what you're saying?
These people are actually set up and funded and armed by the CIA. You remember, let me give you an example when Barack Obama waged wars with the Syrian presidents when they said they wanted him to go off.
Yeah.
The ISIS, the Al-Qaeda, the Hamas, and many of them, they were funded by the CIA to attack Syria, and they were given a name by Barack Obama, the model rebels, you see? And you should now understand that the Ibrahim al-Julani, the one that is now actually reading Syria,
yeah.
Who they actually said, at first they said he's an interim president, but now he is a president. He's actually recognized by the United States and even Trump himself. And he even attended the General Assembly that took place, the one that even our president attended. They had close meetings in the Oval Offices of the White House. That mean was a deputy commander of Al-Qaeda. And then they have a reward because he refused to do their job. And then by that time they have a reward of 10 million of who is, if you find out where he is, where about or something like that, he's still there. So these things of us believing that they are jihadis and ISIS and what, and it's actually the Muslims or whatever those people that they are actually setting up this.
I understand
it's a complete liar.
Yeah, no, understand it from the perspective that, I mean, even the planned combatant were actually called terrorists. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I understand from local perspective and from how they are seen from where.
But they were freedom fighters.
Yeah, you understand.
But it is different. It is completely different when it comes to the planned fighters of Namibia or any other liberation groups.
Yeah.
These ones of the Al-Qaeda, the ISIS, you know, when they attacked Syria.
But the other thing we shouldn't also condone, where, like, I don't know whether it's a Christian group or a Muslim group that are taking, you know, civilians, burning churches, burning people in church or in mosque. So that shouldn't be tolerated in any way or form.
Yes, you don't have to tolerate it, but the one who is saying they are terrorists is the one that is supporting them and is the one that is arming them.
Yeah.
That is one thing that you need to understand. You know, when those rebels attacked, they were supported by Israel, America, and then also Qatar.
Yeah.
I mean, not Qatar, but Turkey. And then Hillary Clinton, by that time, she was a state secretary, a foreign minister, in our words. And then she wrote a letter to John Kirby. John Kirby was the security advisor of Joe Biden, saying, by that time he was a senator, saying, the ISIS, the three letters are on our side. That email is still there. So once you follow these people, that is when you are going to learn that what we are actually being told is not what we somehow believe.
Yeah. All right.
So it's always a pretext.
Yeah. Let's also hear what others have to say, yeah?
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for coming through. Mm. All right. 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So you can come through and have your say, have your opinion. I think there are in terms of this, strategic, you know, there may be strategic resource angle, you know, alongside the, you know, the whole question of protecting the Christians. Of course, as I said, there wouldn't be no any other country just purely for humanitarian protections. So they would come in because of their own interest. Yes, in the process, probably, you know, be able to help a certain group or a certain sectarian in the sector in that country, but ultimately it's for their own interest, and mostly that is something that is not spoken about quiet enough, especially by Western medias as well, and maybe our medias haven't really put forth enough stories like that, you know, to expose the real intention sometime of the powerful nations. All right. Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think about this? And also, as we said, the way media frames African conflict can serve a certain agendas as well. And for us, a lesson is very clear. Guard your sovereignty. Question the stories told about you, especially when they are told about you, and keep control of your resources and security. So that's, and when maybe, just when maybe the big powers say, we want to help. So when maybe they just said, we want to help, look very closely at what they want to help, what is that they want to help, and why, you know? So what is that they want to help, and why? So, yeah. So it's your time to join the conversation. So you must join the conversation. Do you think Nigeria's response was strong enough? So do you think it was strong enough? And should African nation, and this is very important, should African nation ever accept foreign troops for internal conflict? If there are some internal, should you accept, you know, foreign troops for internal conflict? So 08333-66091, you can come through and have your comments, have your contributions. 08333-66091.
Omutiha would take a kaguna e matina omjo. Chicago Safas and Anana, Longishifa, yes, you came or she wanna. E moyao, or tango got it some money. Anagashifa, Yanamibia, on Pitom Banawa, or Chica. Say Sanina, Omakudo, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Eagle FM Media House. Go 20 Mimeha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengera selma, onora hita tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, that's right. And if you have the mobile app, you can tune in at any time.
you know. And nowadays, when the rain is coming, sometimes, you know, you have all this, you know, blackout and, you know, power, it's down. You can still, and if you have still, you know, if you have the app, you can, sometimes the frequencies are out, you know, but with Eagle FM, with the app, you can still continue to listen to, you know, to your favorite shows, you know, to your favorite stations. So good morning. You're welcome. Welcome to come through and have your say on our first item on the show, which is about Trump, you know, threatened to send troops to Nigeria. Okay, so yeah. So what do you think? What is your take on that? So 0833-66091. So you can come through. So, but otherwise we can get to our second story. We come back home. We can come back home to something very, very, very important as well, which is also concerning. So yeah, we're talking about the dramatic drop in Namibia's beef export, which actually dropped to a 50.8% fall for the year so far. Now, this is coming at the time, you know, this is also coming at the time when Namibians are already feeling the pinch in a variety of sectors, you know. But today, I think we, at this point in time, we're going to focus on one of the biggies. I think this is one of the biggest thing. You know, let's get to the caller and hear what he have to say. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes, morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm okay, Mike. Mike, I have a lot of questions about this. What about the African unit? What they are saying? AU?
Well, they haven't responded yet. You know, maybe they still think that Trump is bluffing. It's just some political rhetoric. It hasn't come to a point where this is becoming realistic. And, you know, with Trump, you never know anyway.
Because now the thing is, the way I'm looking at it is that Africa, we are not supposed to allow this.
Yeah.
And because now we are talking about even sovereign country. And the United Nations also, they are quiet.
Yeah.
You know, what about the United Nations? They also never respond.
Yeah, no. It, as I said, it's something that I think, what is it, Trump has said casually.
Yeah.
And something that he also wrote on his ex, that's what he's, but when he, that's what he does. Sometimes this is not things that pass through the Congress, but is something that he put it on his own ex, and that sometimes that happened, you know.
Yeah,
he communicates what he wants to do. So maybe the United Nations and African Union probably just following this for now and see how far this is going, and then maybe they will be able to pronounce themselves once they see that this is becoming more serious. Yeah.
Uh-huh. One of the things that now Americans, they know that they are losing the battle.
We can't hear you properly.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
You say maybe, yeah. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The problem also is you are breaking up a bit when you are talking to me. It's like there's something cutting. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Maybe it's an issue of a network or something, but I hope you can hear me.
I can hear you. We can hear you perfectly.
Okay. Mm. What I'm saying is that, you know, remember, I think that the Americans, they are losing their battle when it comes to the geopolitics, where the things are running out of. People, some countries are deliberating themselves out. If you remember, even our neighbor here, they said they don't want any more NATO camp in their country.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things that, you know, geopolitics are changing.
Mm.
And as African, We are supportive to take advantage of the war between Russia and the Ukraine. Why I'm saying so is that because now, look, Russia is even offering a lot of things when it comes to Africa. Like, yeah, because now, remember one thing that Russia, they used to be one of the world's strongest, and they used to support African when it comes to Soviet Union. We know it. And this is why you can see USA, they are looking everywhere where they can get out of any resource.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the African will be first target, that is for sure.
Yeah, so and, some of this is actually strategic positioning yourself based based on where they're looking at, where is China? Where is China actually, you know, in Africa? They see that China is actually taking over in Africa.
Exactly.
And therefore, they also need to see how do we then strategically also position ourselves. Now, whether in terms of now critical minerals or in terms of military positioning yourself.
Positioning, yeah. Because now, remember, the Chinese, they come with a soft loan, and you know.
Yeah.
The way they are penetrating the African market is something else. Not by force the way it used to be. Like, because they, for them, they used to use force.
Yeah.
And it's exactly even the way that they want to do it again. Because you can tell me, a seven country like Nigeria, why they need American soldiers in the ground? For what? Is this not the same thing when they're saying South African, black South African are killing the white?
Yeah. Mm.
This is the same thing. And remember one thing that once, that's why I'm saying that African will be a first target because we have too many issues. We have a high unemployment. You talk about things which are supposed to be dealt with long time. They are still happening. And if you look, we have rich people who are, my friend, a guy cannot even eat a bread. He has to eat sushi or something. But we have in the same country, it's where you have a person who cannot afford the bread.
So when the local people also think the government is not protecting them, so that's how they reach out.
Yeah. Everybody wants to get rich. What do you think?
Yeah.
Some people are welcome that, yes, Americans, they must come in. Eh? Yeah. But really, if you look at a long line, this thing that you yourself even were inviting the American to come in, you'll be not in peace. You never enjoy whatever you want to get it.
Yeah. And
you can get it, but
the fun enough is always where there is these minerals, where these critical minerals, where there's conflict. And normally
exactly
that's where
I'm
the interest of these powers, of these powerful nations, you know. Because where there's chaos, then they can loot actually
very easily.
They can be able to loot that area, you know, the minerals that are there. So
that's why we in the part of the Nova we have some rich people because of the colonial era, and they even continue up to today looting. And then now the thing is that Mike, we might think that Nigerian war, I mean whatever is happening there, is far from us. But it's not a war. As you are bordering or you are near to that person who's not happy.
Yeah.
This, you might find yourself, we are going to receive a lot of Nigerians who are learning the way as a refugee. You, it's just a chaos also. You'll be not able even to try it.
Yeah.
As usual. Because the conflict is, you know. And the one thing, you know, don't make mistake. Those Islamists, those people, they don't fight for the fight of what? To be, how can I put it? Maybe like to get a diamond mine, to be in control of them. They are fighting for something else.
Fighting for
which,
Allah.
Me and you, me and you, we don't understand. Yeah, the problem is that, and those wars never end, my friend. And remember when we were even saying they are coming to fight for it, because of Islamic. We understand the people are dying. Christians are dying there. But this is just Nigeria's issue. Supposed to resolve it themselves.
Yeah.
They don't need somebody who has come from somewhere else to come and deal with their conflict.
One argument could be, in serious now, when we have a situation in Sudan or maybe other countries where the African Union were actually are just unable, they are incapable of managing their own problems, of their own internal conflict in the continent. So then some powerful country look at that and they have an interest in those areas, and they look at that and they take advantage.
Exactly.
And basically, this is what happens sometimes. So they look at that, yeah, and the African themselves cannot be able to do anything. We should be able at the forefront of this.
My friend, we don't need to go too far.
Yeah.
Look, you bring up a good example like Sudan. And also the same thing which is happening in DRC.
And Mozambique.
Do you want to tell me how, where those liberals are getting their guns?
Yeah.
It's because some of the countries which are near, close to, they are the ones who are supporting those liberals.
Yeah. That's business. And conflict is business. War is business.
Conflict. And you think it will be easy for you to do that? Mm. It will not be easy because you think the person who is supporting these people are far from you. But I would want to actually condemn me.
Yeah.
And that's why some of them, even like, I think it was Nigeria, where they even got hold of, one of the top command was arrested.
Yeah.
The gun are missing in the military. And they find it what? To the, those guys. Mm. To Boko Haram. So, I think seriously, as Africans, we are not supposed, let us start dealing with our own problem. And I think if they are able, they want to stand up that time to go in Nigeria, why they cannot do the same?
The thing is that sometimes we know what we want, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you are in your home. You know exactly what how you could actually improve the house and things that you could actually do, but you don't have the means. First of all, you don't have the means, and we were all entangled in our own problems in our own country. We don't have the political wills. Even when we're talking about the Africa continental trade, free trade areas, you know, the we know that would actually could change the way Africa do trade, but there's no political will. There aren't means to do that.
But if there are means,
mm-hmm, they are not in our control.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. But sometimes, America, what happens to our negotiating skill?
Yeah.
They want to tell me we cannot talk, go and negotiate with even this Islamic, what they want. Why nobody's asking them why this war never ends? Maybe there's something which they need, and we don't.
No, mm-hmm, it's something in their book. In the book says, you know, kill the Christian and the Jews and, you know, and non-believers, the kafirs, you know. And mm-hmm, if they don't, they must pay jizya. Or, you know, you pay if you don't tend to, if you don't become a Muslim. Either you turn into becoming a Muslim, and if you don't, you must pay. There's a kind of fee that you need to pay. And if you can't pay, you must be killed. Those are the three options you have.
So now we are going back the way we Christian started and everything. Because remember the thing that some of our forefathers they've been killed because they don't want to believe in Christianity.
Yeah.
And this is the same thing which is going on in those. But seriously, I think we don't need to allow Americans to come in. This is to bring chaos, seriously, in African continent. I think maybe if they're able to assist with what material things like a weapon and whatever to Nigerian government, that would be fine.
Yeah.
But seriously, for them to step that down, That is it, they are start controlling. And remember, we history teachers from Libya. Up to now, Libya is in chaos. Who caused all those? Remember, Libya was one of the best countries to live in the whole world. Because you don't pay electricity, you don't pay water, you don't pay school fees. You get married, you get your house. You see, you get even a car. Where else in the world you can get that, something like that?
Yeah.
Huh? And they come in to destroy the country because of... And remember, that's why now that country will be chaos forever. Because remember one thing, that once you get used to... And that's why the American, they get used to the way they used to the bullying all over the world, bullying countries. And now things are changing when they lose the war in Ukraine. Now they are trying to shift somewhere else where to check who's weak. And that's why I'm telling you that they are looking somewhere now. And remember one thing, they are scared even to enter Venezuela. Because there, that was not be easy for them. Because remember one thing, there are a lot of countries that are even targeting American already. They can use that point to enter. That's why they are looking for somewhere to start bullying. And I think if Nigerians, they are serious, they must not allow this U.S. soldier to step in their grounds. Otherwise, they will find themselves in the what?
In the hell will,
crossfire.
Hell will lose. And and sometimes you cannot trust that guy. You cannot really, you know, you sometimes you think... he's unpredictable. You can think, okay, probably just talking.
Talking, okay, yeah. And then next time you see him.
And the next thing, you know, you.
I'm telling you.
What you don't expect, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the Americans, you know, they are good, though, because they, whatever they do, they always put it in the movies. Whatever they try to do. Anyway, Michael, let me give other people a chance.
All right, great. Thanks for coming.
Okay, man.
Okay, good. Sure. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, 3336091. If you still want to talk about the Nigeria, the U.S. So what do you think? What is your take on that? Okay, so. Yeah, definitely the, because of the, sometimes you look at this in a broader sense, it has nothing, sometimes it has nothing to do with, you know, with probably even with Nigeria. So it has to do with what the interests of America, it has to do with, you know, looking at your rival like China and things like that. And that is what, you know, make America do what they need to do. So you're just a pawn that being used, you know. All right. So yeah. 0833-66091. A very good morning,
Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning. Let's focus on Nigeria. Geopolitics will not bring peace. Huh? Let's focus on the numbers. I do believe that the killings are real, or it's a data cooked. Those are the things.
Nowadays you would never really know the truth.
No, the even nowadays is even better.
Yeah.
Because whatever you are putting on the. On the research, it's already exposed. You understand? That's why even the UN have that number in their hand.
Yeah.
That the killings is defined as a mass, a genocide, not a mass, massacre thing. It's a genocide. You understand?
Yeah.
Those are the things that we need to look at. Geopolitics of saying, why we have to condemn who? There is nobody in this world born to be ruled the world. No. We have to pass into each other.
But nobody, look here, nobody, even that happened naturally. It happened naturally in the way that the strongest actually rules.
No, it's not that there are rules. There is a pre-response that were formed by League of Nations, United Nations.
I understand.
When the wake-up caller was happening to say, there isn't some kings that were having more power.
Hmm.
You understand? But how can we standing for those kings like the way Adolf Hitler was initiated to do? You understand? Those are the type we have to block such as people. And the Americans, they have to get a reason to come. That's why I remember George Bush said, we don't kill on our own. We kill because of others.
Yeah.
That they are begging us to do it.
Exactly, yeah.
You understand? Those are the things that, if you look at the situation of Gaddafi, he's telling that I don't want to waste time. I like him to be on the good. The Gaddafi sending those General Khalif to Chad, and he informing Chad government to say, because General is wanting to take over to Libyan leaders, so I want him to be arrested or be killed. So when the Chad government arrested this General Galifis' mission, or soldiers that were with him there, because there were more than 500, Gaddafi said, no, he acting on himself.
Yeah.
And Americans intervened on that negotiation of said, no, if Gaddafi doesn't want him, because he asking the Chad government to excuse to killing these people, bring them to me. So they go there, and then they ask him, do you want him to be a president of that country? Yes, I want us to rule like Muammar Gaddafi did. Because Muammar Gaddafi was also coming through coup. What is the difference?
Yeah.
Those are the things that geopolitics is everywhere. It doesn't say the reason of saying you are not better than others. So those are the other things. That's why I'm saying we need now to look at this, because this is what happening to 1994 Rwanda genocide, because of the accident crashing that killing those two presidents.
Yeah,
it's where the problem comes. Eh? So those are you look at Myanmar, where the Christians were banned. Kids were thrown in the fire, those type of things. The United Nations are counteracting. Eh? It's not that the United Nations are not seeing it, but the Islam, the AU, the African Union, and the United Nations say this is a problem of Nigeria, because this guy, they want also to rule through Islam, Islamic, what?
Yeah.
Eh? You understand?
Syria, yeah. All that, yeah.
So those are the reasons that the UN cannot jumping on that to interfering in politics. That is the politics. But to Trump, it's not the politics, because you are targeting one religion. You are not targeting the soldiers here. You are not targeting the government here. You are targeting a religion. This is the argument of United Nations. I mean, United States.
Yeah.
It's to see that why you are... there is a soldier somewhere there that you need to fight with him, because you want to overthrowing the government, or you want just to stopping the Christianity worship in your country.
Mm.
Those are the reasons that the Pentagon need discussing with the president, because president is another body, Pentagon is another body, and the Department of War. That is there. That is a decrying. That's the one, the ending the war in 1945. They are the one that was, even the time of raising the money to sending to Germany, was raising by business people. Not by the government, because government were not having enough money to funding those to come up with a new machine, buying weapons, uniform, foods, and all of that. The business people like J.P. Morgan and the others, they raising the $5 billion into funding that war. Because they want peace. You cannot do business in the world if there is no peace. That's why Bill Gates and others, they are focusing on those, supporting this, what we call
is it funding or what? This is what they are running in the world to come up buying medicine and donated in all of those things. Because they want the nation to be healthy so that they can make money out of them.
Yeah.
But if there is a conflict, you cannot make money.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's why, yeah, those are the things that I want us to focus on Nigeria, that is this true to say that people are killed because of the religion? Those are the things that I want. But this geopolitics of saying, we cannot finish. If I'm on the side of what happened to Saddam Hussein, it's the same that is happening to Gaddafi. That is same happening to Bosnia. That's happening to Kosovo and all of that.
Yeah.
It's a one-sided thing. That is what is even happening now to Ukraine. It's a one-sided thing because Putin has said, ancestral land for the Russians. Those are the ones that is founded that country. It is not the Ukraine what woken burning here today and then they said it's their land. No, it's ancestral land for the Russians. So anyway, that is how I want us to discussing on that and believing on the data that is available to say people were killed.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for your contribution.
Our 0833-66091. Our 0833-66091. We're coming to you live from on Dangwa studio. So, yeah, it's about 9 minutes left before we end our show today. So, yeah, please do come through if you want to contribute to this. 0833-66091. Yeah, I was also looking at, with the minutes that if you don't come through, I will go definitely on the, all right. Someone is knocking. Good morning.
Mike.
Yes.
I'm back again. You see, people in Nigeria can either be killed or not be killed. And none of that is going to take away the American interest.
Yeah.
That is one thing that you need to understand. That is why the Americans always come with a narrative that they actually push in order for them to have that justification. That justification. And that is what they do. You see? That is what they do. You remember that there was a African commander here who replaced General Michael Langley.
Yeah.
And then he went to our Minister of Defense. You remember that?
Who came to?
A African commander, AFRICOM commander of the American troops.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Mm. Who replaced General Langley?
Yeah.
What did he say to us? He told Minister Gapofi that he wants to cooperate in terms of fighting the jihadists because there is an existential threat in the world. He was actually stating those peoples that they now want to come and start terrorizing peoples in Namibia.
Mm.
Where are they? I produce an audio and I send it. That we should not believe in something like that.
Yeah.
To rubbish geopolitics and say it has got nothing to do with what is happening in Nigeria. My friend, we followed these people so long and we know their tactics in every way. And we know without war. And the question, I wanted to ask the question, can it be a coincidence that America, is confronting all the oil rich countries in the world? Can it be a coincidence? For somebody to say, no, it's not about the geopolitics gravities that Americans using, losing.
Yeah.
Can that be a coincidence? It's just a question.
Yeah, no, as I said in my analysis is that, look, because as I said, when you're looking at what is being reported is that Christians are persecuted, but could it be that underneath that, there's also a resources angle to that. you know, because those are areas that are actually rich in critical minerals.
In mineral resources.
Yeah.
The lithiums and everything. Let me tell you one thing.
Yeah.
When the Americans invite Russia and they sanction Russia, and then the Mali and the Burkina Faso, have you heard what is happening in Mali now?
In terms of?
Military invasion.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. When the Americans invite Russia, I mean, they sanction, the sanction was Russia. Mm. And then they said they are no longer going to make use of Russian gas. And then the Burkina Faso and the Niger, and then the Niger chased the Americans away and the France, the French troops. They wanted Niger because President Tinubu was now the chairperson of ECOWAS. You know that with the former president of Senegal. Mm.
Just quickly, Ned, just make the yeah, point, because sometimes we also want to give someone else, you know,
yeah,
chance. Yeah. Mm.
Anthony Blinken went 3 times to have a meeting with the chairperson of ECOWAS.
Yeah.
And then he went with money about $5 billion. For the ECOWAS troop, you know, the ECOWAS have got a security body of which is made up of the militaries of those countries that are in that. The ECOWAS are 15 states.
Yeah.
You know that. And then they paid and say the Niger, the chairpersons, President Tinubu and the president of Senegal by that time, the former, must invite those three countries. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
What is it that they wanted? They wanted to build a gas pipeline coming from Nigeria to Niger to Europe.
Yeah.
You see, that is their interest. Now, can you now say, no, Trump just wants to put a boot on the ground in Nigeria just for the sake of Christianity or whatever, something that they are saying? Is that what you want to tell us?
Yeah. All right.
And the oil, you know, you must remember that Nigeria was one of the biggest oil producers in the countries, in the world.
Yeah.
Let me say in Africa.
Yeah.
What happened to it? They were convinced to go and borrow money from the World Bank or IMF. And then from there, this IMF, they put terms there.
Yeah.
You understand that? We need to go back to the history. We need to understand the geopolitics. That's when you are going to understand. There is no war in the world that does not have interest. And there is no war in the world that America and the British or the West collectively is not involved.
Yeah.
You are lying. Do you understand what is happening in South Sudan now? We know all these things. If we can get enough time to explain, we can explain it to you. Or some of these people must come to my group and then I explain them. There's a group that I have. Then you understand. I follow all these things. That's why I'm able to tell you what is happening now, what is happening now, what is happening now.
Yeah, which
is- the Americans are at war now with the Chinese because the Chinese refuse. They put restrictions on rare earth refinery product because it's only the Chinese that is having that.
Yeah.
And that disables the Americans when it comes to military capabilities. And that's why the Americans went underground to convince the Netherlands to confiscate a Chinese company, Nexperia, that produced chips that mostly used in cars and, you know, in all those, you know, and cell phone and so on.
Yeah.
Then they find out that it has a very negative effect on their motor cars industry, and that's when they urge Trump to go to South America, to South Korea, to meet President Xi when he attended the APEC meeting.
Yeah,
because they were banning. You see, I can tell you all those things.
All right.
That is good. Yeah.
At times, it's our time's up also as well. Yeah. So.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you guys, you must ask, and then I will tell you those things.
Let's do that again some other time.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Basically, that's bring us to the end of the show this morning. No, thank you. Thank you for those who participate. Definitely, this is what it's all about. Our time is about 10 o'clock, OptiCop. And we will cross over to Wintuk, to Tate France, coming with Kutha Mosha. So, yeah, have a very pleasant day. Have a very good day ahead until we see each other again tomorrow. So, yeah, from me, Michael Chevelli, it's a goodbye for now.